Welcome to We Are Libertarians Daily. I am your host, Sarah Brady Wagner, and today I'm here with Alex Haney, who is here to talk about the North Carolina tax cap that was recently amended into our state constitution, but is also a phenomenon that is present in a few other states. So the idea here is pretty straightforward. There is a limit to how much the General Assembly can ever raise the income tax to in North Carolina. Now that this has passed, that limit is 7%. It used to be 10%. But one question that comes up a lot is, why is it necessary? What's the point? So Alex is here to talk to us about why any state would want to have a tax limit and how it could possibly help.
How's it going? Yeah, I'm here tonight to talk on the subject of taxes because I'm one of the roughly five people in the entire country that actually enjoys this kind of subject. I recently, during the campaigning season for the tax cap, I worked pretty hard to make sure that this got passed, and really, really excited to see that, you know, be the case. Like you said, the question often that comes up is, well, how are we going to pay for things? The one that came up the absolute most when I was working on it was, well, how are we going to pay for the education system? How are we going to pay for roads? That came up sometimes. How are we going to pay for failing infrastructure?
Well, roads is always our favorite question.
I swear. I'm to the point where I'm like, you know what? Get rid of all the roads. I'll hike. I'm just sick of that question.
Hover cars don't need roads.
That's also true.
Future, though.
Well, not according to the Jetsons. They happened in 2002. Anyway, and the answer to that is, you know, like with most economic issues, the surface level gets people pretty riled up on either side. When you delve into it even just a little bit, though, you realize that lower taxes are actually a positive net value for a community, for a state, you know, however large you want that community sample to be. And the reason for that is this. As income taxes go lower and corporate taxes go lower, there's a huge incentive for people to move into a state, for businesses to move into a state. With those new people, you end up with a higher tax revenue as opposed to when you would if you were levying a higher tax on fewer people. And when you free up that money for each individual, people become more willing and more comfortable with spending money, with investing, as opposed to just putting money in the bank and sitting on it, or not spending anything. You know, putting it in their couch cushions, that's an old favorite. So what ends up happening is the economy grows. As the economy grows, you get more people in. We've seen this in Texas and Florida, both of which, and New Hampshire, actually. Slightly less New Hampshire, but that has more to do with just location and size of the state than it does with, you know, anything else.
It's very cold.
It is very cold. And you're surrounded by Vermont, New York, you know, places like that. Not my cup of tea. So, according to a recent study that was conducted on the economic freedom scale of each state, what we're looking at is states like Texas, which does not have an income tax, ranked number 10. States like Florida, ranked number 1. Florida ranked number 1 in economic freedom. New Hampshire actually ranked number 3. California ranked number 48. Hawaii, 49. And good old New York with King Cuomo and Bill de Blasio ranked dead last. And what we've seen because of that, in a recent article from CNNBC, not exactly a right-wing station, 800,000 people are about to flee New York and California because of taxes.
Too many of them are coming here to North Carolina.
As long as they're bringing their money and don't want to change our laws.
That's true. So the basic underlying principle here is more people means more money.
Exactly. Without having to burden the individual taxpayer.
But wouldn't it necessarily burden the public systems, though, in the state? So
how do you mean?
Schools, for example. You have more people come, they have more students, you're going to have more people in schools.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true, which is a good thing in itself. The problem that we run into with funding the schools is not an issue of funding. The schools have huge amounts of funding. I want to say, and you can fact check me on this, but I want to say for the last 3 years in a row, teachers have gotten a salary raise.
I think it might have been five, actually.
Five? Okay, well, even better. In North Carolina. The problem comes from too much administration. Administrative costs are through the roof. So it's a matter of spending money wisely as opposed to bringing in more money. Since the 60s, we've tripled the per capita, per student expenditures, and test scores have gone down. So it's clearly not an issue. And that is lower than the rate of inflation, which is important because it shows that we're outspending per student than we are, making money. So, somebody might bring up the idea that, oh, well, it's tripled because things have gotten more expensive. The dollar doesn't go as far. Oh, right. That's just not true. One to one, the ratio is higher on the amount of spending we've put in. And so obviously the issue is not funding.
So the issue then kind of becomes trying to change the incentives to incentivize different government agencies, different public services to spend the money more efficiently.
So exactly.
The question then would be, is that necessarily, or is that hopefully something that a limit on income tax would do? Or is it maybe just only one part of it?
It's definitely only one part, but it's such an in-your-face kind of part where people really notice when their income taxes go up. In the past, North Carolina has raised the sales tax in moments of, when we needed a hike in tax rates, something like that. And people notice the sales tax when it goes up too, which kind of forces the legislature to make sure that it's only temporary. An income tax feels a little bit more steady, I guess. People are more okay with it because it only comes out once every 2 weeks.
It's also a little less elastic. A lot of times if you raise the sales tax, then people will buy less.
Right.
Where people don't necessarily earn less just because the income tax goes up.
Right.
I mean, they do, but it's very marginal.
Right. I mean, they bring home less, but yeah, absolutely. You definitely notice it less. So it's harder to make that a temporary thing. So putting a cap on it is definitely a positive. Now, as your question as far as...
incentivizing better spending?
That's it. Thank you. Sorry, I had a cough. incentivizing better spending, yeah. It is one part, but it's a major part. So the theory is if you cut off the funding for the state and make them realize like, oh, we're not going to be able to spend as much, well, hopefully they will plan for that. Now, that's a perfect world. Before the tax cap came into place, Governor Cooper had a budget proposal that would literally double the budget from this year to next year, which is insane. Without, doing anything else. But under the 5.49 tax that we've had recently, we've had a fully funded rainy day fund, which came in handy during a few rainy days.
I was going to say, we have very rainy days very in North Carolina days. Lately.
Yeah. It was fully funded. We haven't, our roads are significantly better than the ones in South Carolina and in multiple other states that I've been in. You cross the border into South Carolina, you know it without even seeing a sign. It's immediate. But we've got good infrastructure. It's there. We've got the money for better education. We've got the money for all this stuff. We just have to spend it more wisely. And with bringing people in to the state and businesses to the state, which bring in jobs, you do get that higher revenue. You bring in more money. You can do even more, all without harming the individual taxpayer.
So the only other kind of angle I want to take on this, I mean, unless you have more to add, which I do welcome, would be the different types of taxes. So we've touched on that there's a sales tax, but when it comes to tax limits or tax caps, particularly state constitutional limits on how high different taxes can go, some states do have parts that refer to income taxes, but for example, Alabama actually places a corporate income tax rate limit. They have a rate limit of 6.5% in their constitution.
I would love to see that here too.
Then you have Michigan and Massachusetts. They just require a flat rate income tax, so no progressive system where different people get taxed at different rates. What, in your opinion at least, what is the best kind of tax cap? I mean, if we were to say a tax cap is good, if you can only have one, like, what do you think impacts the state budget better or worse?
Well, other than the obvious answer of zero.
That's why I said only one.
So I think having a tiered system is never a good thing. You end up punishing people for making more income. I think it's not only economically harmful, but it's just morally corrupt in my mind. Having something like a flat income tax, that would be closer to a good system. Having a flat sales tax, I think, would be the best way to go. People are going to spend money. They're going to buy things. People with more money tend to buy more, and they'll buy more expensive things. If there's a concern about, you know, people buying food, stuff like that, on
yeah,
the lower,
that's usually the concern right. about sales taxes. They tend to be regressive if you don't exclude necessary items.
Yeah, and, I mean, if you did exclude necessary items, like I think in North Carolina, there's a discrepancy between, certainly in South Carolina, there is a discrepancy between sales tax on food versus sales tax on other things. Mm-hmm. It's like 6 to 7%.
Yeah. We also have different types of food. So prepared food is taxed, I believe, at a different rate than just like groceries.
Yeah, sure. I think that's a much better idea, you know, to help take care of that kind of thing. But the, you know, if you wanted to do the math on it and come up with a system where, you know, under a certain income bracket, you're not paying any income tax, especially with people that are more on the government dime. There's really no point to paying an income tax there because it's just going right back to the government.
Well, then doesn't that accentuate the fiscal cliff that's caused by when you're kind of trying to come off of welfare programs? Part of the taxation that's involved in that is you want people to work, but as they earn more, then you want to kind of slowly get them used to the taxation that will then kind of more fully kick in once they make enough that they are a net taxpayer rather than a net recipient.
I think that goes a little bit deeper than just that issue. I think that is part of it, yeah. But I think what the big problem really is that, you know, in certain situations, if you go up into a different tax bracket, you know, there's an incentive to literally not make more money because you'd bring home less. Just for example, these aren't the actual numbers unless I stumble into them. But let's say you make $49,000 and you're about to get a raise to $55,000.
It's a hell of a raise.
Yeah, it'd be a nice raise, right? Let's just say 50 then, 49 to 50. But you would go into a higher income tax bracket at 50 and you'd end up bringing home less money than you do at 49. I mean, that's, you know, you're stymieing the entire incentive to move up in the world.
Well, but you're still taking home more than you would at 49 because the first 49 is only taxed at the lower rate. That's how progressive tax systems tend to work.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is just an example for a particular system. No, I would really like to see a complete flat sales tax as far as a way to create and generate income. I don't think, you know, if someone's using an EBT card, say, well, don't tax that. Tax other things. Tax, you know, like cigarettes, beer, stuff like that that can't be paid for mm-hmm. legally through a government system.
Yeah, North Carolina actually has a very rich history of kind of what you're hitting on there, which is sin taxes. Mm-hmm. The idea that you want to tax bad things because taxing in and of itself is a disincentive. You know, like you were talking about before, the more you raise taxes on earnings, then you create a disincentive to continue working and continue earning more. And the same can be said with cigarette taxes and alcohol taxes and maybe, hopefully, in a million years in North Carolina, cannabis tax.
Just to clarify very quickly, because I know at least some of the libertarians listening to this are pulling their hair out. I don't promote a sin tax. Like I don't want to tax those things at a higher rate. I just use those as examples for obvious things that couldn't be used for, you know, with a government check.
Well, if anybody wants somebody to hate on, I consider sin taxes to be one of the less objectionable taxes. Not to say that taxes of any kind are good.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, well, people need somebody to hate on.
Well, all right, fair enough. Don't take my beer away from me, please. to kind of close out, I've got a couple of lists pulled up right here. According to U.S. News, the best states as far as the highest economy go are Colorado, Utah, Washington, California, Florida, Oregon, Idaho, Texas, Massachusetts, and Delaware. That's the top 10. Now you notice a bunch of those are really highly taxed cities. Or states, such as Washington, California, Oregon, Massachusetts, and Delaware. And the reason for those being so high in the rankings has a lot more to do with major corporations being there, rather than small businesses, you know, more the backbone, not to sound like a politician. Like Washington has, you know, Seattle. Starbucks is in Seattle. I think there's I know there's a few others that I'm not remembering off the top
Amazon.
Of my head. Amazon's in Seattle, that's right. Yeah, no kidding. I use Amazon all the time.
We'd be
I forget that.
So excited that Amazon is not coming to Raleigh.
Yeah, I am too. I'm thrilled. California has, you know, Silicon Valley, all the tech startups, Facebook, Google, Apple, all this stuff. I mean, they're, you know, so they have a huge amount of just raw money that's sitting there. Massachusetts has Boston, huge amounts of revenue in there. Same thing that happens with New York, even though they didn't make the top 10. And then Delaware is actually where people go to incorporate the most often because they have the least stringent laws on incorporation, the lowest taxes for corporations there. So a lot of places, even if they have physical presence, you know, their main headquarters, say, might be in Nevada, but then they'll incorporate in Delaware. Little insider baseball there for you. And then, according to Fortune magazine, the top 10 states in America to start a new business, Texas takes the top spot. And almost all of these are very low tax states. Texas, Utah, Georgia, Montana, Oklahoma, Florida, North Dakota, California, obviously, again, because of just the amount of people and the Silicon Valley area, Arizona, and Colorado. The 10 worst, on the other hand, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Vermont, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, New Jersey, Connecticut, Maryland, and Alabama. And aside from Alabama and West Virginia, those are wildly taxed states. And for Alabama and West Virginia, my assumption is going to be just that there's just not a huge amount of market in those two states.
There's also, when it comes to finding employees.
Right. You just got fewer people.
Yeah,
you
know. The skilled workforces are an important part. I mean, that's one of the things that states like to advertise a lot.
Right, exactly. So I think that has a lot to do with those. But, you know, you notice between the two lists, the top 10 are vastly low tax states, whereas the bottom 10 are vastly overtaxed states. I mean, it's pretty basic supply side economics to say that the lower someone pays for as a penalty to start a business somewhere, the more likely they are to start the business there. That brings in money, brings in jobs, brings in more tax revenue. It is a positive overall, so long as there aren't any kind of tax-based subsidies, things like that. Like you were saying with Amazon, how they're selling their souls, what little they have left, in New York and D.C. to make sure they get the offices.
Well, my understanding with New York is New York didn't want them in the first place.
Really?
Yes, and at D.C. somewhat to the same degree. Like, these are actually two areas that... Actually, Crystal City probably offered some pretty impressive incentives. But
yeah, I mean, you're in the seat of economic power in New York, and you're in the seat of legislative power right there in Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that they would want to move to those places.
Yeah, I remember reading one over article that basically described it as it's a masterclass in how to date. They ended up picking the two places that didn't want them there in the first place.
I don't know. How is that a masterclass in dating?
We just have to act uninterested. That's what makes people... come over. I don't know.
Is that what does it?
I'm married. I'm not very great at dating anymore.
Oh, clearly I missed the bulletin on that one.
Well, Alex, is there any other fascinating tidbits or information in relation to income tax that you'd like to drop on us?
Nothing other than just a reminder that you know, the lower an income tax and the lower a corporate tax, the better the economy does. When we see the economy not do well under such situations, it's because of other issues that have nothing to do with those two, such as subsidies for failing companies. Like, look at the bailouts. Tariffs are really bad for companies. Things like that. And
you mean we can't do interstate tariffs?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just feel like that would be a bureaucratic nightmare.
It would absolutely be a bureaucratic nightmare, unless each state handled it. But, you know, then Congress is going to come in with their interstate commerce clause.
Mm-hmm. Open borders.
Yeah. You can't see this right now, but I just rolled my eyes so hard it hurt. The only other thing I would mention is, you know, just remember # taxation is theft. Don't open conversations with that.
No, please only use that phrase with other libertarians.
Right. It's kind of our like greeting.
Yeah.
You know,
but not a great sales pitch.
No, it tends to turn people off pretty quick, but never forget it. Other than that, if you're, interested in my other ramblings, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Sarah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for coming out. And everyone, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, all of your favorite podcasting apps, and check us out on YouTube as well. We'll be coming up with some more Speaking of Liberty, or not Speaking of Liberty, that's the other podcast. We'll be coming up with some more fundamental freedoms videos soon. And so please check us out. And as always, 5-star ratings are highly appreciated.